if you, but I like baseball. Grew up liking baseball. Grew up playing baseball. There was one summer that was one of the most glorious summers of my childhood when, in the mornings, all the kids in the neighborhood, the mothers would pack lunches, and they would send us off on our bicycles. To not too far away, there was a little park, and in that park was a baseball field. It was where the Little League played. Now, I'm a pre-Title IX child. If those of you know what that means, I'm pre-Title IX. So they didn't let us girls oftentimes play with the boys. Basketball, we played six to a team, and only two people could rove back and forth. They just didn't think we had the strength to go full court. But that's another story altogether. But one glorious summer, all the kids in the neighborhood, we'd pack up our balls and our bats and our mitts, and we'd go on up to the Little League field, and we'd choose up teams. I'll admit I was always one of the first ones chosen, you know, for whichever team it was, you know. I'll just admit it, you know. I just, there you go. You know, could outrun everybody, could outhit everybody, could outfield everybody. Not anymore, but back then I could. You know. I loved baseball, grew up on it. All summer long until it was time to go home for dinner or until the Little League teams arrived, we played on that field, had a ball, just loved it. So I grew up playing baseball. In New York, Lou, I will admit I grew up a Yankees fan. I'll admit it. And then we moved to Massachusetts, and I had to become a Boston fan. And then I lived in Baltimore and had to be an Orioles fan. Washington barely got a team, and I left. But now I'm a rabid Tampa Bay Rays fan. Well, most of us know a little bit about baseball. We know that there are, when the batter comes up to bat, they have a chance to hit the ball. And the pitcher tries to get them out. How many strikes does it take to get a pitcher out? Woo, there you go. Baseball fans. Baseball fans. Three strikes. I almost brought my bat with me. Oh, there you go. Yeah. But, well, it takes three strikes in baseball to get a batter out. And I got to tell you, Paul, in this story, had probably more than three strikes against him by the time we get to this letter to the Galatians. You don't hear it so much in this particular reading for today, but if you go back and remember the story of Paul from the book of Acts, you can catch a little bit about what his life prior to Christ had been. Prior to Jesus coming into his life, Saul, as he was known then, approved the killing, the murder really, the stoning of Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church. He was there when it happened. The people who actually did the stoning lay their robes at his feet. He watched over them while Stephen was stoned to death for his belief in Jesus. Saul approved. Strike one, you might say. He breathed, the scripture says, threats of murder against the early disciples. He was rabid about his Judaism. He was a zealous Jew. He himself even says that. And he wanted to wipe out the Christians. Strike two. Finally, he gets a letter from the authorities in Jerusalem to travel up the road a ways to Damascus so that he might arrest any Christians he might find there or along the way and return them fettered and in chains so that they might be tried and killed for believing in Jesus. Strike three. Wouldn't you think that God would have given up on him by now? How many of us have had strikes against us in our lives? Ooh, Lord. One strike, two strikes, three. And you're thinking, well, there's four, and I can think of a fifth, and then there's maybe six, you know. Amen, Stella says. And yet and still, God had other plans for Saul, who became Paul. And it was amazing to Paul that as much as he had sought to persecute the early Christians, God reached out and grabbed a hold of him and turned his life around. He says that in this letter of Paul to Galatians. He said, "You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently, he says, persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors." He was a righteous, religious person. He believed he knew what was right. You ever run into anybody like that? I always hope I can look behind me and over someplace else, you know. Because I want to be zealous and I want to be righteous, but I want to go about it in the right way. God had other plans. The very next word is one of my favorite words in Scripture. Paul says, "But when God." But. This was me before, but God got a hold of me. And as much as I thought I was doing what was right, God changed my life. God changed Paul's heart. God had other plans. One commentator on this passage says, the message from God that breaks in on us from outside. Revelation is a message from God that breaks in on us from outside our religious culture. Breaks in from us outside of our religious culture and transforms everything. Everything. Now, most of us here grew up Christian. Not all, but most. Whenever we do membership class, I always ask, what was your religious tradition? Before you got here, and oh my God, we are Catholic and we are Baptist and we are Methodist and we are Lutheran and we are atheists, some, and we are agnostics, and some grew up with nothing at all. There might even be some Jewish folks here. I think there usually are on any given Sunday, a couple of folks from that religious tradition. We bring all of that with us, but God transforms. I myself, you know, grew up Methodist, and the Methodists are run by a thing called the Book of Discipline, you know. When I first became a Methodist, the Book of Discipline was, you know, maybe about that thick, you know, and then they discovered they needed to add a second book because the first one got too thick with rules and regulations and how-tos. So they added a second little book. I can't remember even what's in that one, but, you know. The last time I even looked, it's a great big thing, this Book of Discipline. It just seems to grow and grow and grow with all the rules and regulations that will govern you if you're a Methodist, especially if you're a Methodist preacher. Oh, let's go there. Well, one day, for me, God broke into all of that and said, well, wait a minute now. What are you really going to be governed by? Somebody's rules and regulations or my law of love? Or my law of love and grace? Someone else has said about this passage, speaking about Paul, but I think speaking about any of us, God's act of seizing us and empowering us for tasks we never could have imagined for ourselves. That's what God does. That's what God did with Paul, and that's what God does with us. Because you know, there's power in a changed heart. There's power in a changed heart. That when our hearts get right with God, everything changes. Have you experienced that? Do you know what that's like? Do you know people who are still living by rules and regulations? Yeah, you know, most of us do, you know. I get people here sometimes who sort of give up and go back to where it was they came from. You know, I've seen that over and over and over again. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, I finally figured out that I'm loved by God, so I can go back to being a Methodist or go back to being. I would not go back to something else, because you know what I have found in MCC? Freedom. Freedom. To be all of who I am without apology, because God has said, you know, you're all right with me. You're all right with me. And God says that to all of us. God says that same thing to all of us. God says to you, you're all right with me. You're all right by me. You know, I love you a lot, God says. I love you a lot. And don't let anybody ever tell you different. The power of a changed heart led Saul to become Paul and led him to become one of the great evangelists in the early church. Who knows who's sitting here this morning or who will watch by YouTube next week, next month, next year? Who knows? I had an experience one time at a general conference. We're coming up on general conference, so all kinds of memories of general conference start flooding back for me. You know, I love general conference because people come from all over the world, to join together to praise God and worship and to be the church. And thousands of people. This is going to be the largest general conference that MCC has ever had, the one that's coming up in Chicago. Well over 1,000 people have registered for this particular general conference. The hotel is sold out. They had to arrange for another hotel down the street. Praise God. I remember a general conference not that long ago. It was a rather major general conference for me in a lot of ways because Reverend Elder Don Eastman had lunch with me, and as a result of that, I ended up here. Lots of things can happen at general conference. Praise the Lord. But at that same general conference, there was a young man sitting, I think he was behind me in a workshop, and I didn't know who this person was, and I think he was from the Philippines. He was from someplace else, from some other part of the world. And he suddenly realized who I was sitting in front of him. You know, he had been listening to sermons online, listening to sermons online, and he'd gotten a hold of some of mine, you know. The internet is a wonderful thing. He said, you know, and as a result, he patted me on the shoulder like this. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, as a result of my having found your sermons online, says, I've come to General Conference to learn, and I'm going to go back to take the good news of Jesus Christ to my people where I live. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, and I wouldn't be going back with the passion if it wasn't for MCC. You never, ever, ever know how God is going to use you. Not just me. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, God's going to use you all over the place. You and Brad and Susie and Jake and, you know, God's going to use all you people who wear the little collars and the robes and stuff. You know, we know that. Oh, it's better than that. It's better than that. God's going to use you and you and you and you. God could choose to use any and all of us. Because once our hearts change, once Jesus gets tucked inside there, life is never the same. Life is never the same. That's like, what was that song we just sang? I'm so glad that Jesus has blessed my life. And I'm so glad that Jesus has blessed yours too. Can you imagine? Can you just even begin to imagine what God is going to do with you?